Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into The Drive, the day before Thanksgiving. Jay Binkley back again. Character will be back on Monday. I'm not going to say, but it'll be somewhere around here. Just different times, man. Chris and Osero here. The next 5 hours, we get you locked and loaded till 7, all right? Because we have Arrowhead Pride Radio tonight at 6 o'clock. So Chris and I are saddled up. You know, I recommend you put that turkey on, you grab that cold beer, you fire up the Christmas tree, whatever you want. Grab that cold beer.
Fire up the Christmas tree?
Turn it on! Let's say, like, light it on fire like Christmas Vacation, you know? Whatever you're doing, putting lights on it, whatever, I don't care. Just, you know, just put us on. Grab a cold one. Drink
it's
one of our
own. It's 2 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock. It's not dark enough to fire up the Christmas tree.
It's getting close, Chris. It's getting close. You know what the most used cliche today is? We talked a little bit yesterday. Everybody does Thanksgiving stuff and Thanksgiving foods. And we did this yesterday as well with the drives Tinder Tuesday they have with swiping left or right for Thanksgiving sides. We'll get into that because this is the NFL version of it, because there was some NFL version hot takes, which I love. This is a sports show, so when sports people comment on the food, we will definitely talk about that, especially even guys like Bill Belichick. What do you think Bill Belichick likes for Thanksgiving? Well, stay tuned and we'll tell you, but has Thanksgiving become the have a good day? Because I went to the gas station, right? Happy Thanksgiving. You know, it used to be have a good day, right? Like, do you actually think when you go to the store, it says, well, how's your day been? Do you think they actually care?
No, they don't. They're just being polite. I don't like when people say, how are you doing, when they don't actually want to hear how you're doing.
Like, I ask you because I actually care. You're like, hey, how you doing today, Chris? You know, like I care.
Yeah, it's like if you're actually, like, legitimately, hey, how you doing? But it's like I refrain from saying how you doing
if
I don't care.
So you got to say it differently, though, Chris? You'd be like, hey, how you doing? Or how are you doing today? I mean, is there a different way you have to say it?
I say what's up. And when I say what's up, that is like I don't actually care what's up. That's a greeting.
Fair enough.
That's like that. Like literally, if I was trying to inquire about someone's day or recent events, I'm like, hey man, how's it going? That's how you know I care about what's going on. If I just say sup, that's not me actually caring about your day.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Have you ever tried just having a little fun? And when someone says, how's your day? So let me tell you about my day. And then let's start at 5:45 a.m., right?
I had to pee.
Tripped over the lamp. You started like early. Say, let me start at 5:45. You know, then I had this problem with my insurance agent. Or then I had the problem with this dealership. Yeah. And you just go on and on. And then they're sitting there bored because they didn't want that answer. Then you know what the next person they say? They'll go straight to the weather, man. Man, it's cold out there. Man, it's windy. No more how's your day, right? That's happy Thanksgiving. Because what you say is, really? Because I'm tired of the Lions. You know, I'm tired of watching the Cowboys. It's all six teams that are playing on Thanksgiving lost last Sunday. How am I going to get excited? Because I'm going to watch the Egg Bowl, right? I'm watching Mike Leach. I'm watching Lane Kiffin. I'm watching the Egg Bowl Thursday night. But, you know.
You're still going to watch those NFL games.
Of course, but Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving's become the, how you doing? How you doing?
At least they're not, what are you doing on Thanksgiving? Like, that's when it's like, okay, dude, you don't really care what I'm doing.
Well, today's the day everybody goes out and gets loaded up drunk tonight. I guess that's the new thing.
Yeah, it's like the Friendsgiving thing.
That's what the kids are all doing, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's what we do. Even though I'm in my 30s, yeah, that's what we do.
Unless you're former NFL player Ryan Clark that likes to hit the hot take machine.
God, he's always doing that.
Chris, there's a lot of hot takes in this industry. And there's a lot on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, I know. Like, I throw a lot of hot takes out there myself.
Well, I know. I know. I think everybody does. Although, there's a difference, I think, between an educated take that's well thought out than manufactured, what did your producer tell you to say type take. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, yeah. If they literally believed in it, that's fine. I respect that. But if you're told because you make, you know, six figures, we need you to spice this a little bit up. Why don't you come out and say the Chiefs suck tomorrow, right? Like, that's what we want to hear from you. We want to hear the hot takes. He was the guy. He was the guy, Ryan Clark, former NFL player, that was talking about Mahomes being broken, right? And the Chiefs kind of hinted about it on their Twitter yesterday. They used the word broken, talking about the Chiefs, stuff like that. By the way, Mahomes is the leading passer in the NFL by yardage. But I hadn't seen this, and I was wondering why Ryan Clark is, like, defending himself so much with Chiefs fans. Because, Chris, you know damn well. You've seen the text line. You've seen Twitter. Like, when you rattle Chiefs fans' cages, man, they're coming at you, man.
It's like a vicious swarm.
They are coming at you. Yes. And a lot of people have learned their lesson, both good and bad. Ask Dan Orlovsky. Sometimes you just flat have to turn mentions off. Or, I mean, it's even got the Chiefs players that sometimes where they've been upset. But
yeah,
I was wondering, I say, what has Ryan Clark done now? Like, the whole broken thing's in the past, right? We all had fun with Ryan Clark. What now? What are you doing now?
And I have one huge question. What's wrong with Travis Kelce?
I know. We've wondered, could it be injury? Yeah. Could he just not be feeling himself?
I mean, and then you're here, Dan. Yeah, we wondered. We've been wondering about that. We've been wondering what's wrong with Travis Kelce. Is anybody worried about Travis Kelce? I know there's been a few drops that one went through his hand, but that's what you can expect with Kelce. That's what you have during the years. Has five straight years of 1,000 yards. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. And I hate the argument when they say, is Travis Kelce a Hall of Famer or not? Because the answer is unequivocally yes. He's the best tight end to ever play the position. You know, guys like Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Rob Gronkowski, they all have four 1,000-yard seasons. They weren't all connected. The only one to do at least three connected was Greg Olsen, right? He's done it five times. He was second in league last year in receiving yards. You know where Travis Kelce is? The guy that we're worried about.
And I have one huge question. What's wrong with Travis Kelce?
What the hell's
I know.
Wrong?
We've wondered, could it be injury? Yeah. Could he just not be feeling himself?
I mean, just not feeling himself, Chris. I know he's banged up. Is it the injuries? He is seventh in the NFL in receiving yards. Seventh! And I'm not talking just from tight ends. I'm not talking just members of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm talking all 32 teams in the National Football League. He is seventh in yardage. Do we sit there and say, yeah, you know, I've been wondering about that too. What's wrong with the guy that's sixth in the NFL and catches, seventh in yards? That's why you're on Twitter defending stuff. Because when you call out, and then Tyreek Hill, I can't wait for that one, because he's second in the NFL in receptions. By the way, Tyreek Hill is three receptions away from his career high. He's already sitting at 84. But Ryan Clark even tweeted out a little bit earlier today, and this is what I have Chiefs fans going, and I get a kick out of these things because you go into defense mode. He says, for 3 years, all anyone on air has ever done is praise the Chiefs. It's not true, but that's what he says. Hell, I've picked them to win every single game the last 2 years. Well, if you did, you'd probably be right more than wrong, right, Chris?
Because they have a lot more right than wrong.
So by the odds, you would say the Chiefs are going to win every week, wouldn't you, if you're playing the odds? Because they won 14 games last year. They've won seven this year and only lost four, so your chances of being right are better. It's also good if you say the Detroit Lions are going to lose every week because you're going to have more victories in the betting column than losses. He says, even the Super Bowl in Tampa, they have not played to the standard set since 18. Still good, still scary, but you got to call it how you see it. I see a team that's giving up, if you would even throw the Titans game into it, if you even want to go back and throw the last six games where they gave up 27 points to the Titans, if we're including that game, they're still at 14.7 points a game, all right? They're still giving up 14, it's two touchdowns. If you're including it, if you're not including that game, and you just want to go last four, it does include the Packers, does include the Cowboys. Cowboys, the highest scoring team in the NFL. 11.7 points per game. This defense does deserve respect. It's earned its respect around the National Football League. And it just When you're finding things like what's wrong with Travis Kelce, who's seventh in the NFL in yards and sixth in receptions, watch some damn football, man. See, lots of guys are struggling. You know, do a segment on Matt Stafford struggling. You missed the opportunity to make fun of Tom Brady when he threw those picks against Washington 2 weeks ago, and he redeemed himself, of course, against the lowly Giants. But not everybody out there. Rich Eisen is a guy that I consider to be a very knowledgeable football fan. Rich Eisen was in here doing a show here at the studios about a couple years ago, Henry Lake and I, when we had the day shift from 10 to 2. Rich Eisen was kind enough to open up the show for us, but he was talking about the Chiefs, and he makes 100% sense. I mean, we hear the nonsense, but here's actual common sense, well-regarded by somebody in the National Football League who pays attention to all the games, the combine, you name it, is Rich Eisen, because he also brings up the name Chris Jones, Defensive Player of the Year. You're starting to hear that talk again amongst people, and you should, because right now, if I had to put, you know, a first half, even though they're in the second half of the season, MVP, his name is Chris Jones. It's the way I felt at training camp. It's the way I feel now. Here's Rich Eisen feeling the same way.
And they ran into a Kansas City team that is not only red hot, but red hot on defense. Who would have thought that? And the reason why is there's a new Defensive Player of the Year candidate in town, folks. There's a new one in town. He wasn't playing earlier this year, which is part of the reason why he's new in town on that front this year. And maybe part of the reason why the Chiefs were not winning a lot earlier in the season. But his name is Chris Jones. His name is Chris Jones. And he is so good at playing football. Yeah. And so good at running the game from the center of the defensive line. From a tackle position. From stopping the run on the way to the pass, and if he's not stopping the run on the way to the pass, he's stopping the pass by not only sacking the guy, but batting the ball down. He is spectacular. And with Frank Clark now healthy, suddenly that team looks really, really good on defense, and they won a game yesterday in which Mahomes wasn't lighting it up either.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So today's going to be the day we're going to hear Dallas sucks. They're not have no shot to win the conference. That's ridiculous.
Just look at Del Tufo's Twitter.
I know that, but he's a troll when it comes to football. He's a troll when it comes to football, whether it's hating on your team, whether it's hating on Brockman's team, whether it's pointing out how rich he is to have season tickets for two teams. You know, whether it's any of that. He's a troll when it comes to that. So don't pay him any mind. Don't pay anybody else any mind when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys today either. Because everyone's going to say they suck. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. And you cannot say that based off of all of this right now. It was a disappointing performance. They got their derrieres handed to them. And you've got to tip the cap to a prideful, stout, top-notch, getting better with each week, two-time defending AFC championship team in the Kansas City Chiefs, who are absolutely a Super Bowl contender right now.
Absolutely loved every minute of that. I played both sides. I played the Ryan Clark and company, wondering what's wrong with Travis Kelce, seventh in yards, sixth interception. Hey, Rich Eisen brought it there beautifully, talking about Chris Jones being their surgeon. Chris Jones is the best player playing on the Kansas City Chiefs right now. He's responsible for that resurgence. I mean, he is. I mean, he's the NFL AFC Player of the Week this week. He's been absolutely unbelievable what he's doing. The 3.5 sacks last week. Jaren Reed got that other half sack, if you want to know who got the other half sack. But when you're talking about Stone Cold, you know, 2.5 tackles for loss, 1 fumble recovery. He had that deflection when L'Jarius Sneed gets it. He's the reason why I'm the turnaround. He's the reason. He is the number one guy I saw at training camp when I asked, who is the best player at training camp? It's Chris Jones. But I just love that argument. Instead of trying to find and nitpick what's wrong with the 2-time defending AFC champions, which, by the way, and we'll get to it in a little bit, I've got the latest sports books from a lot of different places and where they have the Kansas City Chiefs. Spoiler, they have them second in the NFL to get to the Super Bowl. They all have them winning the division. They have them winning the AFC. There's a reason for that. It's not hot takey. It's not a producer come and say, hey, just find a way to, well, let's call Mahomes broken today. That's what we'll do. But regardless, that's where we sit now. Sean Barber, former Chief, former Eagle. Sean Barber, you guys know and love Barbershop. He'll be in here between 4 and 6 today, so we'll talk to him about a lot of the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's Thanksgiving done a little differently. It's Thanksgiving done from NFL players and coaches. You'll be surprised what Belichick likes. I never thought he would answer it. That's next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero. We'll talk to Vern here in about 10 minutes, Wade Davis' retirement. Just in the grand scheme of things, how much Wade Davis meant to the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk to the one and only Josh Vernier. Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker, Eagles linebacker, in studio with us 4-6. Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, like, entertains me when he talks, Chris. I mean, he's not the guy I would want coaching my team, but I enjoy Dan Campbell. He's the head coach.
An entertainer.
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Lions. They aren't going to be the first team ever to go 0-17 because they did get a tie against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it did take a Justin Tucker NFL record field goal of 66 yards to beat them. But one thing they've done, Chris, is they have been a staple on Thanksgiving. They're going to give you just hot takes that the Lions shouldn't be on Thanksgiving because it's not a take. They just shouldn't be because the NFL is so forward-thinking. Why do you have the Lions on every damn year? I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's dumb. Did you realize this year's game between the Lions and Bears? The Lions 0-9-1, Bears are 3-7. Is the combined record of the teams are 3-16-1. This is from the Detroit Free Press, right? Per research shared by them and Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune, that's the worst combined record by teams on Thanksgiving since the Lions lost to the Chiefs back on Turkey Day in 1987. Oh, those 80s were glory years, man. 1987, the Chiefs and Lions entered that game 3-17. The Lions have been a part of this for a long time. It's been, what, 87 years? They had an interruption between 39 and 44 for World War II. But the Lions are still under 500, 37-42-2 record for the Detroit Lions that are a staple every Thanksgiving. If you go there, you're going to get on national TV, at least, you know, because of that Turkey Day game. Family and friends be able to see, even though I don't think they really care your kind of background noise. To be honest with you, that's what the Lions have become. Although I did like watching Barry Sanders play. Like, there was a chance to just watch Barry. That's what it was all about.
He was the only good thing about the Lions.
But of course, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And then because of LeVar Hunt, the Thursday night game, 2006. The Chiefs were on the first Thursday night, the first Thanksgiving night game, which is the best of the three because it rotates. It rotates around. And like I said, the NFL does opening day right. They're doing the Saturday games right. They do the flex thing right. The NFL does everything right except for this. But it's been tired. It's been talked about for quite some time. But Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions, he wants to comment about this. Think about the people of Detroit.
Look, I just think of it as the fact that there, again, to me, it's special because I remember watching the Lions growing up and it was part of Thanksgiving. Like, that's how I think of it. Win, lose, or draw, I was like, hey, the Lions are part of Thanksgiving, just like the Cowboys are. But I think this city deserves it, you know, mm-hmm. And it's in the simplest form to your question, it's easy to say, well, you know,
agree.
You're not winning games, so you shouldn't have it anymore.
No.
But to me, I think, I'm selfish, man. No, it should stay here. I mean,
no.
Part of the Lions, I'm a head coach. So, look, we'll make it worth it. All right.
If you want to do it for the people, Chris, if you want to do this for the people of Detroit because they deserve it, win some damn games to go to the playoffs, right? Like, Detroit would rather have playoff football than be the butt of everybody's jokes and favorite uncle falling asleep during your game on the couch watching and making fun of the Detroit Lions. Because they will, for a time, be the most made fun of thing on Thanksgiving, besides Matt Nagy, maybe. The most made fun of things. Terrible cranberry sauce. But regardless, we all laugh at Detroit Lions. Like, we're not doing it for the people. We're laughing at you, not with you, Dan.
They don't deserve this game at all.
The people don't deserve this.
It's like, it's amazing.
The people don't deserve to be ridiculed. They deserve championship football.
For a league that's as ambitious as the NFL is,
yes.
It's amazing how they still revert to what is the worst tradition in professional sports. Let's have an organization that has historically been bad, has never played in a Super Bowl. The closest they've come to a Super Bowl is when they've hosted it. And let's have them play on one of the biggest television rating nights for the
year.
It's
a great sports town, and they don't deserve
it. Yes,
this.
I'm saying.
Like, that's having pity.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
that's
we get
what
Thanksgiving
is.
Game. Who cares, Dan?
It's like it's a tradition that is one of the worst that you can find in professional sports. We don't need – like, I understand, look – people like me and you and a lot of people who are listening are going to be dumb, and we're going to watch that game tomorrow afternoon.
100% admit that's what I'm doing.
I'm totally going to slip in and watch that game, and I'm going to feel terrible, and I'm going to make fun of it on Twitter because it's a horrific game between two bad teams with two coaches that are both dead men walking. But still, it's football, and I'm going to watch. But it's just like – I would like for the NFL to just
kind
treat
of football,
us
but
nice.
It's Lions and Bears.
It's pseudo football.
It's something that resembles football.
Yeah, it's pseudo football. But it's just like, I would like for them to put a better game on.
I mean, I would rather watch Barry Sanders at his age run around his neighborhood.
Exactly. They should. You know what? That actually would be good. Let's get Barry Sanders to suit up and go play running back for the Lions tomorrow. He can't be worse than anything they have.
Yeah, or some vintage Oklahoma State highlights.
Exactly. He can't be worse than anything they have. Or they could just replay, because I think the Bears and Lions have played on Thanksgiving like over 20, like late 90s, like 98, 99. Just replay that game, and that would be more entertaining than the game that we'll all end up inevitably watching tomorrow after.
Do you realize between 51 and 63, they played the Green Bay Packers every Thanksgiving?
God.
So they were a tradition.
I mean, unless you had
the Packers.
Well, you had the Packers stomping them out.
Yeah, but this is the third straight year both the Lions and their opponent have had losing records on Thanksgiving. Think about that. Third straight year both the Lions and their opponent have had losing records on Thanksgiving. I mean, wouldn't you think they at least pair somebody like a sexy matchup? Like, at least if you're going to watch the Lions lose, let them get the hell beat out of them, man.
Yeah, put
let
a good
them just
team.
Get the hell
put
beat
a really good team against them. Don't put the Bears against them. So you can watch either Andy Dalton or Justin Fields struggle out there. Just put a really good team out there. Put, like, they should just do the Packers and have Aaron Rodgers throw 5 touchdowns against the defense, and we'll just go home happy.
Well, regardless, it is silly, but it is silliness that I will watch. But I did say this, and we'll get to more of this later with NFL players and what their favorite sides are and what they're not throughout this program. But I told you, Bill Belichick, Mr. Not much personality on interviews, but, you know, off the field, he's kind of funny, like that whole dog on the Zoom thing in 2020, the draft.
Yeah.
He sings with Bon Jovi or whatever. It's Bill Belichick. But he does a show with our sister station, Odyssey Station, in Boston, WEI. And I personally am surprised he answered this.
If there were only one side dish that were able to be on the table Thursday, what would you want it to be?
Oh, boy. Well, it'd be hard for me to turn down any type of potatoes, so, you know, I'll go with whatever, mashed potatoes, scalloped, or, you know, baked, or however they're made. But, yeah, you bet.
Twice baked. Yeah. Extra sour cream.
Load them up. Load them up. Yeah.
That's Wiggy's favorite.
maybe a little bacon, Bill?
You bet. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Throw some butter on there. Yeah, just, you know, starch me up.
Hey, Belichick, man, he likes his potatoes, man. He doesn't care which kind. He likes them. I'm shocked he wasn't, like, on the Cincinnati or some crap like that. I mean, it's a radio show. They are paying him to do it. And they pay him to have a little personality.
Belichick is great at talking about anything but, like, his quarterback.
Yeah, don't ask about Mac Jones.
Receivers.
Ask about macaroni,
if
not
you,
Mac Jones.
If you ask him about his long snapper or his kicker or anything like that, he'll be cool with that. You start asking him, like, real questions about real things, like things that really, really matter.
No.
Yeah, he's not going to answer that. But yeah, you ask. I'm not shocked at all that he answered the question about the about potatoes.
There's a hotter New England Patriots take with something got you real fired up with Matt Judon, and we'll get to that as we progress throughout the show. But coming up next, Wade Davis retires, and I get it. Wade Davis was not Wade Davis of old last year, but he did mean something to the city, and he meant something to the Royals. No other better person to talk to than somebody watched him inside and out, up close and personal. Josh Vernier next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
And welcome back to The Drive, Jay Binkley, Kristen Ocero on this Thanksgiving Eve. Hope you guys are putting up the tree. Like I said, you can put up the tree. We'll still be on the air till 7 o'clock. So
I think you have time to complete it. You do it on Black Friday. Saturday.
Whatever, make a turkey or something. Just throw potato. Bill Belichick likes potatoes. Do it for Bill. Andy Reid likes to cook turkey, you know? Josh Vernier likes to do it all, right? He's the Royals insider, the best insider in all of Major League Baseball. Because Wade Davis calling it quits today. And I don't know about you guys, but I sure liked old Waiter Check, please. Joining us now, the Royals insider for 610 Sports Radio. Proud Detroit Lions fan, Josh Vernier. What's up, Josh?
No, that's an incorrect introduction.
Which part is correct?
I'm not a proud Detroit Lions fan. I was.
No one's a proud Detroit Lions fan.
When I met you, you were. What happened?
I was given that curse as a child. I've done my best to rid myself and my bloodstream of that poison, but there are still traces of it in there.
Well, the funny thing is, Vern, I was kind of going through the history of it earlier because, you know, it's been like an 87-year-old series. It's been forever. They stopped it during World War II. But this is the worst matchup by winning wins between the two opponents, the Bears and the Lions, since the Lions and the Chiefs back in 1987. I mean, they've had some historically bad games, and Dan Campbell was defending it. Like, hey, we need this for the people, but the people don't need this. They don't need the national ridicule. What the people of Detroit need is wins in a playoff.
Well, I mean, the recognition of, I don't know if parades are still happening, but that was always a big deal to have the eyes of the country on Detroit. I know growing up in Michigan, that was big, but, man, who did they play the year they went 0-16? How is this team and this matchup worse than that one? Well, look, I guess
it was the opponent. It was the opponent.
Right.
And they had Dan Orlovsky, right? Mr. Hot Take. They had the tie.
That's when they played against the Colts. Peyton Manning threw 5 or 6 touchdowns, and Orlovsky ran out the back of the end zone.
That was beautiful. Was it the Vikings
that
played on Thanksgiving?
That was the Vikings game where he ran out the back of the end zone.
Okay. All right.
It's a beautiful thing.
I have so many terrible Detroit Lions memories. I have a lot of bad Michigan-Ohio State memories, but I have a lot of good Wade Davis memories. So if you want
to those. That's why I called you.
Talk about those.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bring you down with the Lions, man. I didn't mean to do that. I meant to be positive today, Vern. It was a totally positive day. I'm telling people to put up their Christmas trees and start a turkey and drink cold beer.
That is something that I think all Chiefs fans listening should be thankful for. I remember when I moved to Kansas City in 2012, Chiefs fans loved to whine and moan about how tough their experience has been and all the heartbreak.
It was all true. All true.
It was heartbreak in the postseason. You had
it's still heartbreak, Vern.
Inside the stadium in which the Chiefs play resides a Vince Lombardi trophy. In AFC Championship.
Yes.
Even before
now it does.
Patrick Mahomes arrived. The Lions have not won never been to a Super Bowl, have not won a championship as a professional football team since 1957.
It's been a minute.
Suffering. So on this Thanksgiving, let all Chiefs fans give thanks to Andy Reid, to Clark Hunt, to Patrick Mahomes, and to, honestly, your parents for teaching you to be a Chiefs fan and staying as far away from that Honolulu blue and stink that's coming from Detroit.
Vern's trying not to curse so bad.
I know he is. I know he is. And my hands on the dumb button, too. It's never been there with Vern.
Right now.
It's never been there with Vern. But let's talk about bad things first, Vern. when you got here, things weren't good. You know, you were here during that miserable 2012 Chiefs season, right? And the Royals were putting up losing records. Then all of a sudden, what I used to call that little strip of land, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, right, between Arrowhead and Kauffman. And then all of a sudden, a pitcher named Wade Davis, Luke Cochaver goes down with Tommy John. Ned Yost calls him in. Waiter, because we weren't sure where Wade was going to end up. Was he going to end up in rotation? Because he wasn't doing well in the rotation. Was he going to end up at Omaha the year? We didn't know what Wade Davis was going to do. But then all of a sudden, he's a major piece of the reason the Royals have a world championship banner flying at Kauffman.
Yeah, in my decade around the Royals, he's my favorite pitcher. I would say he was the one that was the most enjoyable to watch. I would say Lorenzo Cain is probably the player that would fit the billing. But no, when the Royals made that trade, you and I, we were on the air together when they made that trade to send Will Myers to Tampa. And my thought at that moment, and it remained my thought throughout the offseason and into 2013 and 14, and that was, if you don't make the playoffs in the 2 years that you have James Shields, well, then the trade was a failure. And obviously we know the team did make the playoffs, go into the World Series in 2014. But that was about James Shields. That was about Will Myers and Jake Odorizzi. Wade Davis was the guy that I like to refer to as wild card Wade Davis. The wild card of not just the trade, because if he hits as a starting pitcher, if he hits as a bona fide reliever, well, suddenly that trade goes from good to all-time great. Wild card Wade Davis was also just that for the team in 2014 and 15. If he could have been an asset, again, whether that's in the rotation or in the bullpen, he had a chance to take this team from being below average to average, from average to well above average. And ultimately he did, everything came up aces for Wade Davis. And you know, next time we'll see him is probably when he's being inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame, I would hope.
You know, it was just, you know, I think back to those years and those times, and of course your post-game shows and pre-game shows are just a big part of what the Royals were in that climb. I remember spending 2013, the end of the, or 2014, the end of the year in Chicago with you when the Royals were actually going to go to the postseason. And, you know, you never forget Rex Hudler saying, waiter, check, please. But I'll always remember you talking about middle fingers, man. The middle fingers Wade Davis would give the opponents, not literally, but figuratively, but that was always a huge part of your post game was Wade Davis in the middle fingers.
As anyone that is listening to me now or has heard me in the past, I'm not too bright. So as I'm sitting up there, I was struggling to describe. You and I, we were at every single one of these games, and we're watching Wade Davis finish off a ball game. It was, I don't, early on, sure, I'm guessing it was nerve-wracking. I don't really remember that. It was a foregone conclusion that he was going to come in with a fastball in the upper 90s and a devastating cutter, and he was going to put you away, three up, three down more times than not. But the way that he would throw strike three, called strike three, and as the home plate umpire is picking up his arm to call strike three, Wade had a proclivity to already put his head down and kind of spit almost with a disgusted look on his face, like, how dare you? Have you not seen what I've been doing here coming out of this Royals bullpen, finishing off in 15 or serving as the D in HDH in 2014? it was as if he was, telling the gentleman at the plate a big old F you. How dare you? You got no chance against me, and I'm just that much better than you. Now, as you know, Bink, when you get to know Wade Davis, he's anything but a guy that's going to tell someone to blank off. He's, one of the nicest guys I've ever had a chance to cover. The guy that I would point to and say, he seems as if you would run into him at your local diner. Wade Davis was that guy, just as normal as they come up until you put him in a pressurized situation and then he turned into that cyborg. I mean, what he did in Game 6 against the Blue Jays at Kauffman Stadium with the rain delay and then a runner in scoring position.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The gate, a man. I mean, that to me, that was maybe second only to, what, I mean, Gordo's home run. That play, that moment in Game 6 against the Blue Jays was maybe the just the right there with Hosmer's dash, where it took some brass ones to do what they did.
Vern, you've seen a lot of baseball. You watch a lot of baseball. You've covered a lot of baseball games with in the different spots you've been. Of course, in Kansas City as well. Have you ever seen anybody kind of turn their career around from being in a spot where you weren't exactly sure where they were going to fit in? Like, he wasn't the big name of the trade. It was obviously Wade OG. It was Will Myers. Then it was, oh, yeah, and Wade Davis. And, you know, failed starter, trying to find a position. Luck is when chance meets opportunity, right? He had the chance to go because Luke Kochhaver went to Tommy John. But is he the all-time just kind of reclamation project you've seen from where he was to the dominating player he became?
Maybe in Royals' recent history, but bullpens around Major League Baseball are littered with amazing stories and reclamation projects from the big names like former catcher Kenley Jansen.
That's true.
You know, I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, in Royals' history.
Yeah. I would say, you know, even the story of how the Royals were basically asked to sign Quisenberry. You know, that story, he came out of nowhere. No one saw him turning into a guy that finished in the top five for American League MVP. Now, I know that's before my time somewhat, but if we're looking at Royals history, to become a Royals Hall of Famer from obscurity, you know, it's him, it's Greg Holland, and maybe not even Greg Holland because he was at least a draft. Yeah, I would say he's right there with Quiz where man, I don't know if anyone saw him being an all-time great out of the bullpen. But I will say, Dayton Moore in this front office saw something in the right arm of Wade Davis and the versatility of Wade Davis coming out of the bullpen or serving as a starting pitcher. It's not as if Wade Davis was a throw-in. So, you know, Dayton, JJ, Scott Sharp, that whole crew over at Kauffman Stadium, they deserve a lot of credit for identifying Wade Davis as a guy that has the upside that we ultimately saw.
Well, I used to say it, too, in sports, Vern. You know, we at this point, this is like pre-Mahomes. Like, the Chiefs didn't have that franchise quarterback, and some teams did. You know, like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, teams had it. I always likened that bullpen to having an elite quarterback in the NFL. Because the Chiefs really kind of, the Royals really set the bar in the bullpens, the part that, you know, Wade Davis was in. I remember talking to the Indians, you know, relief staff at one point after a game, you know, about, or maybe it was before a game, about, you know, how the Royals have single-handedly helped their salary go up, you know, from being in the bullpen, being a seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, ninth inning guy. But I do feel that HDH is revolutionary in baseball because the Royals had the equivalent of what a franchise quarterback is. I don't know if it's a fair comparison or not.
Yeah, it is fair because the natural inclination would be to go to a starting pitcher because when you're driving to the ballpark and Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you don't care who he's playing with or who he's playing against. You know you have a chance to win. The same can be said about driving to the ballpark with Garrett Cole on the mound or Brett Saberhagen on the mound. You know you have a chance to win no matter who's in the lineup or who's in the opposing dugout. But that's only once every fifth game, right? A starting pitcher, a bullpen, especially one like HDH, that was every single day. Driving to the ballpark, if you're a White Sox or a Minnesota Twin or a Cleveland Guardian, whatever you are driving to the ballpark and you know HDH is there waiting in the wings, you're not intimidated, but you're cognizant of, if we do not have the lead within the first, if we can't get the lead and hang on to the lead in the first four or five innings, this game's over. It was a way to bully the opposition. I brought it up with Dayton Moore recently and the hopes of being able to bully the opposition with this young starting rotation moving forward, a la you know, Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox. Not that these guys are going to be Hall of Famers, but to give you an analogy, starting pitchers that every time you drive to the ballpark, you know you got a chance to win. That's the hope with this next generation of starting pitchers. But we've seen, you know, the mid-90s Cleveland Indians, they could bully you with their offense because no matter how large the deficit early on, you knew that Cleveland could come back. Same thing with Wade Davis, Kelvin Herrera, and Greg Holland. You knew even if this game was close, that they weren't going to give up any more runs. So your pitchers had to match that. And boy, coming out of a bullpen is already pressurized enough. But imagine coming out of the bullpen knowing that the guys on the other side aren't going to give up a run, let alone a base runner. So it was the bully tactic of that championship team, the way that they got in the domes of the opposition before the umpire ever said play ball.
Talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. And Vern, like you, you love talking to Wade Davis. I did too. I mean, my two favorite guys to cover, believe it or not, well, one's obviously Wade Davis, but the other one was Alcides Escobar. And yeah, I have my reasons why, but those are my two favorites to cover when I did it. But I'll never forget, because before the game, you could ask ridiculous things to some of these players. A lot different than after the game, right? So you could ask, you know, silly things. I mean, not you know, still baseball related stuff. But you and I were there one day.
I mean, it was weird when you were asking everybody boxers or briefs, but
no, that was okay. I get it. Okay, touche. But you and I had the opportunity. It was one day before a game. I forgot who it was. Middle of summer, whatever. Maybe it was Detroit or it didn't matter. But you and I talked to Wade Davis, and I think it was me, not you. But I asked the ridiculous question of, who's the toughest guy you ever played with? Because Wade Davis always kind of knows a tough guy. Who was the toughest guy he ever played with? And do you remember that answer? Because I do.
Yeah, I think the reason why you asked it was because Alcides Escobar was doing something freakish or Alex Gordon was doing something freakish. But, yeah, he responded with Kyle.
That's right. Kyle Farnsworth, baby. He said he's the one guy you wouldn't charge the mound against.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, Kyle Farnsworth was an MMA fighter, I believe.
And then he turned like semi-pro football player.
Yeah, he's just, he is a horse. He is a horse, and you saw him back in the day. That he was with the Cubs, I believe, got into quite the scuffle. Just beat the hell out of guy in a mile, basically.
No, he did. But I wanted to bring you on, Vern, because obviously Wade Davis, I mean, you know, he knew it was going to happen, but he was just a part of that 14 and 15 team. And I remember asking, was it Hosmer, I think, before game five in New York, like, do you ever think that you'll be, you know, have the same reverence in this town, like the 85 team, you know, like Brett and McRae and Biancalana and guys like, you know, like go around, never have to buy a beer in this town. And yeah, Wade Davis is going to be right there front and center. I think Wade Davis could walk back here in 10, 15 years, and it wouldn't matter. His dinner, his beers, but being bought for him.
No question. But knowing Wade Davis, he would say thanks, but no thanks.
You think so?
And not in a disrespectful way. I just mean, you know, you don't need to buy me anything. Let me buy you some.
Didn't Alex Gordon get that new contract and let somebody buy him lunch?
Yeah, I mean, but that was a younger Alex Gordon.
Would you let somebody buy your lunch, Vern?
Yeah, are you offering?
No. Chris is.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. What's your, I'm not even going to ask you, because it's cliche. I was going to ask you what your favorite item is, but I really don't care.
Stuffing, dressing, call it whatever you want. Just give me all of it.
That's the worst choice.
Well, it's what Vern wants, so, man. I mean, you turkey or ham guy? Just curious.
Both. I want to put just pile everything.
I don't like ham, so no.
I'll take it. Drop it off.
Yeah, I'll just donate it at your place.
Thank you.
If you miss Vern's Royals baseball bonanza, it was great. He had everybody you'd want to hear from the Royals, and Vern will keep you up to date. The hot stove will be here before we know it, Vern.
Yes, it will. I don't know how active the Royals will be, but it'll be here nonetheless.
It will be here nonetheless. Vern, you and your wife, hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
All right, brother. You too.
Thank you. Wade Davis, man, did you ever have any encounters? Because I know you spent some time out there too, Chris.
you know, before.
That was like the heyday of,
I mean, it was just fun.
Yeah, I never, like, talked to him or anything. I don't even know if I saw him in the clubhouse.
Were you scared of him?
No.
He was the nicest guy, but he had the look, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think any of those guys were really, like, intimidating. I didn't really talk to any, I mean, obviously the most fun person in there, Salvi, but like,
sure,
Salvi was probably the most notable person in there. I don't even know if I even saw Wade Davis in the clubhouse. Like, I saw like Haas and Moose and, you know, Gordo over there in his corner, just looking jacked when he takes his jersey off. But yeah, I didn't really see him.
But, you know, they were high first round draft picks. You know, there was expectations. Moose was the all time leading home run hitter in the state of California. You know, Hosmer had a ton of expertise. Wade Davis, there was some legitimate concern on what to do with Wade, right?
Oh, yeah, because he was a terrible starting pitcher.
That trade was about James Shields. That trade was about Will Myers.
Yeah.
But it became about Wade Davis.
Yeah, he was a...
Like, I've never seen a Royal trade. I know that Greg Holland, you know, became this great guy in the ball. But Wade Davis was absolutely dominant, and he wasn't before. Like, there wasn't that maybe glimpse he'd be dominant in the bullpen. You know what I'm saying?
No. He was. I think in 2013... after they traded for him and Shields, I think he was the worst starting pitcher in baseball.
Statistically, he was the worst. Hochaver goes down, there's a question of what's going to happen to Wade.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, it was a question of, oh, man, well, at least we got James Shields, but Wade Davis is terrible. And then they move him to the pen the next year, and he was so great in the pen that all of a sudden we're like, oh, my God, he might actually be the better player between the two that we got out of that trade.
I mean, I think of him at the time, Vern, because, you know, before the game you can ask, you know, stupid thing. It was about charging. Obviously, Kyle Farnsworth, by the way, there was like an anonymous major league poll one time, and he was the one guy that even major league players did not want to charge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why would flat out say, hey, it's the toughest guy I've ever played with?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't charge Farnsworth.
He's huge. He liked to fight.
Yeah, not only that, but he's huge. He's going to be like 6'9" or something like that. And he, like, now he's got all these tattoos, and he looks like an MMA fighter. So you definitely don't want to charge him now, but yeah, I think he's like 6'9".
But it takes a little bit of crazy, you know. I think it's too tall. He's let's see how tall he was.
Maybe he's like 6'6" or 6'7".
He was rather tall, but he was.
And like a lot of those Royals pitchers are tall, anyways. Like Hochaver was pretty tall. Shields was pretty tall, but Farnsworth was huge.
I don't remember exactly. I'll look it up how tall he was. Let's see if it's on Baseball Reference. How tall was Kyle Farnsworth? 6'4".
6'4", really?
6'4", 230.
I always thought he was like 6'6".
But he was wired. He wore those glasses and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you charge him, he's going to punch you. You know what I mean? But that's the guy. Like, Farnsworth's the perfect guy to pull out there when your guys have been plunked. And you, like, bring out Farnsworth, you know, like the hockey goon that goes out and just punches you, you know, and hits you. That's to bring out Farnsworth. You know, good luck charging him because you're going to be scared of him.
I mean, the Royals had some guy. I mean, remember Edinson Volquez? Edinson Volquez was ready to throw hands anytime. I mean, remember when they got into the big brawl with the White Sox up in Chicago? Like, Volquez was one, him. It was him. It was Kane. It was
even Dyson for his size was.
Dyson
about
was
it,
there.
You know?
Ventura. Those guys were throwing hands.
Ventura.
He was throwing hands.
Like, when he threw at Machado, he knew he was coming.
Oh, he knew.
Like, and he knew Machado was bigger, right? But he didn't care.
He didn't care.
That's why I had a lot of respect
for him. He was mean mugging Mike Trout and just giving him the business.
He didn't care, man. He wanted to protect his teammates at all costs.
Yeah.
I mean, the best Royals fight I've ever seen was the most unassuming guy to do it was Mike Sweeney. But I always thought, like, Perez has a little bit of that in him. Like he's a happy-go-lucky guy. Everybody likes Sal Perez.
I don't know. Perez was always the
peacekeeper. But just don't piss him off.
I mean, like,
you know. Because Tim Anderson did one day at second base, and he let him know.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, Perez is, like, he's one of those guys, like, if he's pissed, you really did something to get him mad. Because he seems like he's got a lot of patience with
people. But that's why Sweeney was.
Yeah.
Like, he's a nice guy. You know, if he had a vote on who's the nicest guy in baseball, it would have been Sweeney.
Yeah.
But he also had one of the best fights I've ever seen in baseball.
Sweeney took a lot of crap from Royals fans when he was here. So you got to be nice if you played here and dealt with all the crap that he did and still went out there and played baseball and loved being a Kansas City Duke.
I just think a pissed off Perez would have would be tough to deal
with. Yeah, that's not a guy you want. He's big. He's a big dude,
too. It would be tough to get him to that point, but if you got him that point,
yeah, if you got him to that point, you did something bad.
But anyway, Sean Barber in here at 4 o'clock. That was Vern on that. Coming up next, though. Talk a little college football because the playoff committee came out last night and the latest projections for where Kansas State's going to go bowling and Mizzou as well. We'll discuss that next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.